Hello, and welcome.
Radio.
Welcome to In Faith Network Radio. Celebrate Christ with us as we go behind the scenes of Christian entertainment to reveal hidden blessings and share with the Christian community. In Faith Network Radio.
Hello, and welcome to In Faith Network, brought to you by Readers Entertainment Radio. I'm your host, Victoria Fresa, and I'm filling in for Sheila English while she's away in Florida. But I do have my co-host, Anita Higman, here with us. Welcome, Anita.
Thank you, Victoria. I'm always glad to be here.
And it's great to have you. Tonight we have double the entertainment because we have two guests. Chris Well is an award-winning writer whose laugh-out-loud mysteries include Nursing a Grudge and Burying the Hatchet. Chris is also the mastermind of editor behind the popular Esine family fiction. Excuse me. And with an impressive background in marketing and research, Amanda Liedeke works as a literary agent at McGregor Literary, where she represents all the typical genres, including romance, literary fiction, women's fiction, and nonfiction. But Amanda is one of the few Christian agents who presents speculative fiction and young adult. So this promises to be a very enlightening show. Before we go too far, let me let our listeners know that they can chat with us live at www.blogtalkradio.com/circleofseven, and that's circle-of-7. We have a chat board up, so you can call into the show at 646-200-4071. After the show, you can download the podcast or come on over to infaithnetwork.com and check out the blog that will be accompanying this show. So, Anita, I thought it might be fun if I get us started with Chris and then hand the mic over to you to chat with Amanda. What do you think?
It sounds good to me, Victoria. Go for it.
Okay, thanks. Hey, Chris, welcome to the show.
Hello, Victoria. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's great to hear your voice, and I wanted to get started by having you tell us what Laugh Out Loud Mysteries are, and more specifically, about your books.
Well, generally, the reason my books end up, people call them Laugh Out Loud, is I have a hard time writing straight drama. And so, in fact, it goes back to when I was writing my first novel and was sending pages into my editor at that publisher. And I had this was actually a thriller, so it was a laugh-out-loud thriller. I had some gangsters that kind of went into the room to tell their boss something. And my editor said, I don't want to see somebody, you know, just regular gangsters or somebody else's gangsters. I want to see your gangsters. And I thought, well, what does that mean? And so then I decided to kind of roll the scene back a little bit and start with them in the car driving to the place. And they started having this weird conversation about Broadway musicals, which was an odd juxtaposition for these hardened killers. And that really was early in the book and early in the process. And just as it went, it just felt more comfortable to find these odd angles for my characters and my stories. And so now, you know, we come to, you know, 2011. I've got the Earl Walker mysteries, which are cozy mysteries, traditional mysteries, starring an old curmudgeon named Earl Walker. And these are stories that are, you know, he's an old, when we meet him, he's a bitter old man in a retirement home. He doesn't have any friends. He doesn't want any friends. He's mad at God. He's mad at the world. He hates people. And through the course of the story, he sort of pulled out of his shell in the most awkward way possible. And so, you know, so it's just, I just found that it's a lot of fun to play with expectations. And also in the course of these, you know, these being traditional mysteries, you know, amateur sleuths and clues and, you know, here's the four suspects, which of the four is the one kind of thing, kind of a Murder, She Wrote model. I also thought it was fun to play against those expectations. And so in one of the books, you know, when you have your cliche scene where let's have all the suspects in the room and I'm going to point out the murderer. Well, as I was kind of thinking about that cliche, I thought, well, I don't think they would really do that in real life for all kinds of reasons. So I needed to find a reason to do it in the book. And then, of course, once I had to make up an excuse, then I decided to even turn that on its head. And so it kind of plays out a little differently than Earl had expected or hoped in the book. So that's kind of kind of where it is it started out with I couldn't help but do weird things in my books, and then now I've kind of embraced it, and I enjoy it, and try to make things as uncomfortable and awkward for my characters as possible.
That sounds fun. It sounds like you have a great time writing your books, too.
Well, yeah, I do. I like to see what I can do to them. And I should mention, you know, these three books. It's as you mentioned earlier, Nursing the Grudge, Burying the Hatchet, and then the third book, which is coming. These will be available through Spyglass Lane Mysteries next year, and then the third one is, in fact, the first publication anywhere. The big finale, Breaking a Leg.
I love the name of your books, by the way. Just it's like terminology that we use every day, and yet you've really wrapped those titles into these great novels, these great mysteries.
Yeah, that's part of the fun, too. I mean, to me, it's like a game, and it's like, you know, what can I do to challenge myself, and what can I do differently, and how can I surprise people? And I would say too, in going along with the kind of the theme of the books, but also the making things awkward for people. When I was writing the first book, Earl, when we meet him, is in a wheelchair because he was a metro bus driver. He was shot on the job, and then he ended up in a wheelchair, which was kind of part of his bitterness. And it turns out that he refuses to tell anybody in the first book about what happened, like it's a secret, like he's embarrassed. And in fact, when my sisters-in-law read the book, when you know, like early drafts, they were mad that I wasn't going to reveal the secret. But frankly, I didn't know at the time what it was, and to me, it wasn't that big a deal. But then, when I got to the third book, it occurred to me that the third book should be about the secret, and the secret is revealed in again the most public and awkward way possible. Because what'll happen in the third book is that suddenly he's kept a secret close to his chest, and none of his friends know, none of his loved ones know, and then suddenly there's this play that is being produced locally, and the story of the play is his secret. And he's like, well, wait, how did they have that? And so it's the most humiliating way for his secret to come out. And so again, it's really about, you know, putting my characters through the ringer and really having fun at their expense, I guess.
Yeah, I read some of your first novel, and you immediately want to love to hate this character. And I think that what you're talking about, putting your characters in awkward positions and getting them up, getting them into trouble and getting them out, just it's like a roller coaster. It sounds like it's a lot of fun. But I wanted to ask you about your work as an editor at Family Fiction, and what's that like? And tell us a little bit more about what Family Fiction is.
Well, Family Fiction, which we've actually just celebrated our first year, so we're still sort of launching it, is a brand owned by Salem Publishing, which also does CCM Magazine and Homecoming Magazine, Seeking News Magazine, and so. In the same way that, you know, for these years this company has been covering Christian music and various kinds of Christian music, this now is an opportunity to do a news service for people who read Christian fiction. And so, you know, it's a website, it's, you know, a comprehensive website. It's a bi-monthly digital magazine. It's a weekly email newsletter. We also have a strong presence on Facebook and a strong presence on Twitter. And it really is about, you know, we're doing our best to give people who are interested in Christian fiction, and we're finding more and more people who they're interested in the idea of it, but they don't know who the authors are. We want to bridge the gap for them. We want them to know what their choices are. And so, I mean, so our comprehensively, we're trying to cover, we've got 10 categories: Amish fiction, historical fiction, suspense, speculative. Romance, young adult, children's, movies and DVDs, comics and animation. I probably left something out. If that wasn't 10, then that means I left something out. But we really are trying to make it that no matter what your interest is in Christian fiction, if you're like, you know, I don't know who writes science fiction, Christian fiction, I want to know. Well, we want to make sure that, you know, we give you as many choices as we can.
So if someone did want to find out more about Family Fiction, where would they go online to find you?
Well, a great place to start is just our website is kind of the hub that everything revolves around, and that's familyfiction.com. Or if you're on Facebook, you know, if you type in Family Fiction, you should be able to find us pretty easily.
Great. I'm going to definitely check that out once we get off the air. But I wanted to ask you then, going back to your being a writer and an editor, do you edit your own books? How do you work that out?
Yes and no. I mean, my manuscripts are generally pretty clean because I've been an editor for longer than I've been writing fiction. My entire adult life, going back to right out of high school, I've been editing in one form or another. But on the other hand, there are different stages of editing that require different parts of your brain, and you also need other eyes to look at something because, especially if I'm the writer, I may catch it the first couple of times, but there's a point where mistakes become invisible to me. And you do need other people to read it also. If that answers your question.
Yes, it does. Actually, I know exactly what you're talking about. When I read something that I've written over and over again, I can miss little tiny details that somebody else would jump off the page. So it is using different parts of your brain, like you said.
I would mention also that that for the past year during this launch period, I haven't really had a lot of free time to work on my writing, so I'm actually way behind. And in fact, as Amanda can tell you, there's stuff that she's been waiting on from me for weeks and weeks and possibly months. I've lost track. So this is my official apology to her in front of the world. I'm hoping I can find some breathing room at the day job and get back to being a writer while still doing my day job.
Yeah.
In case my bosses are listening.
Well, we've seen a lot of changes in the book business in the last few years, as well as the skyrocketing sales in e-books. We're living in a digital age. People now get a lot of their information online as well as their news and entertainment. Why do you think we've had so many changes so quickly?
Well, I think in some ways where we are is just the result of, if you look at the history of mass media, I mean, going back the entire 20th century has been about, more access, faster, more electronic, but we've just in the past few years, because of the internet, because the speed of the internet is growing exponentially, that it's about speed, it's about access, it's about choice, and I think what happens is as people become familiar with the opportunities, then more of them buy in. Well, as more of them buy in, then that means that the makers of the superhighway have the ability that, they've got the resources then to go, okay, now we can do more because more people want this, So it's sort of like, at the beginning when, oh, now we have record players and that's this brand new thing. Well, you were sort of limited to how quickly you could crank those things out. Well, now today we're talking about a product that there's no inventory, there's no, you don't have to make a thing and sit it in a warehouse and hope somebody drives to where you are to buy it. It's like, oh, I can make a phone call. All I have to do is have a cord in the wall, and now I can watch TV shows on demand, and I can download, movies and books and things on demand. And so just the faster it becomes available, it becomes a cycle that the faster they make it available.
Mm-hmm. Instantaneous.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, let me ask you, we know how to find family fiction online, familyfiction.com, but how do we find you online?
Well, my author website is studiowell.com, and actually that's a site I do with my wife, and so we've got my fiction is represented there, and also she does comics, and then there are comics that we do together. They're all represented there, so that's studiowell.com.
Wow, what a talented family you have there, huh?
Well, we try.
Great. Well, thank you, Chris, and don't go anywhere because we're going to bring you back for a final question, but
thank you, Victoria.
I know Anita's been patiently waiting with Amanda, and so she's in the hot seat, so I'm going to turn the mic over to you, Anita.
Thanks, Victoria. All right, Amanda, I've got some questions for you now. You have helped to launch a big digital project at your agency at McGregor Literary. Please tell me about the Spyglass Lane mysteries that are coming out in e-books.
Well, the Spyglass Lane mysteries that Chris talked a little bit about, I know he mentioned each of his books that are coming out next year. It's just a collection of cozy mysteries from a group of about 15 published Christian authors. And many of those authors are clients with Smith Writer Literary. And what happened was they came to us and they, you know, they had the rights to these cozy mysteries, to these publishable books, and they wanted to do something with them. And so we tried a few options, and in the end, it just made the most sense to help our authors self-publish these books. And so we've kind of formed this group, this Spyglass Lane Mystery Group, which is just a bunch of authors publishing their cozy mysteries. We've got about 40-plus mysteries that will release over the coming year, and they will release on Amazon.com and Smashwords.com, always in digital format. And the price is just a very, very reasonable price. They're coming in at no more than $2.99, and many times they start out at only 99 cents. So it's just a very, very inexpensive and a great way to get some good reading done. And we've got a website, and we've got Twitter and Facebook, and we're just hoping that this group of authors will be able to kind of piggyback on each other's success and pull fans from each other and just really get buzz going and get chatter going about this online mystery group.
Well, that's great, Amanda. I know that we don't have time to talk about all the various authors, because you said I think there's 15 authors involved, and
mm-hmm.
some are in the Bregger and some are not. Well, do you want to just mention the authors who are involved in the project?
Yeah, I can mention a few names here. You said, we have some that are with the agency, and then others aren't with McGregor Literary, but they jumped on board with this particular project. And so it's names like, you know, Cecil Murphy. He's known for his book 90 Minutes in Heaven. Well, he has a mystery series coming out under the Spyglass Lane Group name. Janice Hanna, Susan Page Davis, Cynthia Hickey, Katie Hayes, just lots of different authors, and Chris Well is one of them, and also you, Anita. I want to just draw attention to this, that your books are coming out too. You have, what is it, 3 mysteries?
Yes, that's
correct.
Thank you for giving me the plug there. I wasn't going to do it myself. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, well, I want your listeners to know that you've got these books coming out, and if they have an e-reader, it's definitely worth it to drop the 99 cents and check these great mysteries out.
Well, moving on to another question here that connects to that. We have Christian bookstores, and we have our online booksellers where we go and get wholesome Christ-centered books, but what's the benefit of having Christian e-books then?
Well, the obvious answer is, to be part of the trend or to get some sort of profit. I mean, there's lots of profit in e-books. It doesn't cost a lot to produce them, and so you get a lot of return. But one aspect that I want to talk about that I don't think is mentioned enough is the ministry aspect. When you go into a Barnes & Noble, you have your Christian section, your row of religious books, your row of Christian books, and then you have your general market section. And you have to be very intentional about going to that religious or that Christian section. And many people who aren't interested in those books, who say to themselves, well, I don't want to read Christian section, I'm not into that whole thing, they will just, it's so easy to pass that section by and go on to the bigger and more easily accessible, oftentimes, general market section.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's what we have in the bookstores. But when you put Christian books online, the beauty is that when people search online, they have to use search terms. And their terms can be as simple as, girl detective fiction. And they put that search term in, and there's nothing that says that Christian books can't be a part of the search results. There's
mm-hmm.
nothing to filter that out unless the searcher takes that extra step and goes into the advanced search settings and says, only look in this section, or don't, exclude these certain terms. So there's a much greater opportunity for Christian books to get in the search results of people who are looking for books, and that translates into a much greater opportunity for sales. If the books are priced right, if the plot is good, sometimes if the cover just looks good, you know, people will say, oh, it's a 99-cent book, and they'll put it on their on their Kindle, or they'll order it from Amazon without thinking too much about it. That, I think, is the huge, huge benefit of ebooks, and we don't talk enough about that in the industry. We oftentimes overlook that ministry component because we might be really nervous about the thought of ebooks because it means the death of the printed book or something like that. So, I just really want to stress the ministry aspect and just how much easier it is to get Christian books in the hands of unchristian readers when you're using an online search form.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's well said. Thank you for explaining that.
Mm-hmm.
And going back a little bit, I think I kind of skipped over this question. I think Chris explained a little bit about cozy mystery. Do you want to give kind of a definition, again, of cozy mystery?
Sure, absolutely. I like to jokingly refer to cozy mysteries as, you know, grown-up Nancy Drew books. they are Murder, She Wrote. They're Agatha Christie type books. It's just a good, wholesome mystery. And the unique part is that all of the murder or the crime, I guess you'd say the crime that's a part of the mystery, it happens off the page. It happens backstage. And so just like with Nancy Drew, I was a huge fan of Nancy Drew growing up, and you know, she'd stumble upon a crime scene, or she'd stumble upon something had been stolen, or something's missing, or someone was injured. But you never actually witness the crime being committed. So all of that possible violence, all of the possible, you know, scary moments are pretty much removed from the book. I mean, there's definitely intense scenes, there's suspense. You can be on your, you know, on the edge of your seat when you're reading these books, but there's nothing that's going to be overly offensive in them. But there's also a strong romance element, especially within these books. So it's just really great for the people who just love a good whodunit. You know, they like to put on their thinking caps and have a really, really nice, happy ending.
That's a good description. I like that. And also back to ebook, we've been talking about ebooks, but for people who have not purchased, you know, ebook reader and maybe have really, we're throwing around all these terms, what is the very basic here? What would you say is an ebook?
An ebook is a digital version of a book. And I guess the best way to describe it is, you know, when you're on your computer, when you're typing something in Word, and then when you save it in Microsoft Word, you know, it's nothing more but a digital file.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what an ebook is. And you can go online and you can purchase ebooks, and then they are automatically sent to an e-reader. Now, an e-reader is a specific device, a Kindle or a Nook, is the Barnes & Noble version, that they store these files, and you can read them whenever, wherever, as long as you have your device with you. And the devices are, you know, bigger than an iPhone but smaller than an iPad, so they're very portable, great for the mom who's on the go, great for the reader who has lots of different books that they're reading at once and they don't want to lose their place. It's great for the traveler, for the businessman, for the air traveler especially, because you don't have to lug all those books around with you.
Mm.
So I think that's the most basic definition of an ebook. And these readers, you know, you can buy them for like $100, or you can download something to put on your iPhone that will read the digital files. And it's just it's not like reading on a screen either. It's usually like a matte screen with some kind of like ink technology, so it actually looks as though you're reading from a printed page as opposed to a backlit screen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's an excellent description. Brings it right to life for me, Amanda. Thank you. Now, our kids are texting these days more than they email. Not me. I email more than I would text. I don't even do text, but I email all the time. But where do the e-books fit in with our kids?
Well, with e-books, I hinted at it earlier, you know, in publishing, I like to say that we're going through the five stages of grief when it comes to the printed book. You know, we're seeing denial. You know, we don't want to believe that e-books will ever gain traction. And we're also seeing some anger. And some people are bargaining with e-books, saying, okay, we'll do this to make it fit into our current structure. You know, that's what we're seeing from a lot of publishing houses. So they're just going through all of these motions, but they haven't yet reached a point of acceptance. When I talk about they, I'm talking about book people, like people within the industry. Our children, on the other hand, they accepted it a long time ago. They're texting more than they're emailing. In school, their textbooks are being replaced by iPads and laptops. Instead of printing out a report and handing it into your teacher, a lot of universities, you know, you're emailing your reports, you're logging on to some kind of internet portal so that you can be in touch with everything. Everything is moving to a digital world, and our kids do not have this attachment to material possessions like we do. They aren't really attached to that CD album or or even like a letter. They don't care if a letter is written on paper or whether it shows up in 140 characters or less. So they just see it in a different way. And that is why, especially as Christians, we need to be offering our children a wholesome, Christ-centered option that embraces their interest and their love for everything digital, but then also something that grooms them and encourages them in the way of Christ.
I agree totally. Well said, Amanda. Thank you for that.
Absolutely.
And back to the Cozy Mysteries we were talking about a minute ago, being on ebooks, I guess we better say, where can we get those Cozy Mysteries online? Where are they?
The best place to go is to the Spyglass Lane website, and that the URL for that is spyglasslanemysteries.com. We're also on Facebook, so if you type that in to the search field at the top, you'll be able to find us on Facebook, and then we're on Twitter, too. And our handle on Twitter is Spyglass Mystery.
Okay. All right. Very good. And we have a round robin question. Victoria, do we have enough time for a quick round robin?
If we can do it quickly, I think we've got a couple of more minutes.
All right. Let's do a fast one here. I want to bring Chris back in, and we do, like I said, a round robin. So, Chris, I'll start with you, and then, Amanda, you can answer the questions. What are your predictions, Chris, for the future concerning e-books, and any special insights for Christian e-books?
Well, the shortest answer I can think of is even though everybody is saying the ebooks are the death of publishing, I guess I'm in the stage of denial still that Amanda mentioned, because publishing is still, you know, a $28 billion business, and ebooks are just a fraction of that. That said, February 2011 was a huge, it was the number one category because people had just gotten e-readers for Christmas. Well, we're a year later, Amazon has just released four new e-readers, including the color tablet, including a price-to-sell $79 one. Kobo has just released a $200, or they're getting ready to release a $200 color one. So I think this Christmas, a lot of people are going to get readers, which means next February, it's going to be an even larger category.
Yeah, I think so, too. In fact, I'll probably end up getting one for Christmas as well. Amanda, what are your thoughts? Do you have any, about the future of e-books, any special insight about the Christian market, or what do you have to say on that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's just going to continue to grow, and while we may hate the thought of the death of the printed book, I know I certainly hate it, and everyone else in the industry hates it. The truth is, you know, will we see the printed book leave us in our lifetime? Probably not. But will our kids see it? Yeah, they'll probably see it die a slow death. And printed books probably will turn into more collector's pieces. You know, who knows what the future holds. But the truth is that it's a fast, fast-growing industry. It just continues to explode with momentum and interest. And we all need to jump on board. And I think we're going to see more publishers jumping on board, offering free books, offering cheap books, and maybe even doing a few tests to see what happens with certain books when they offer them in ebook format.
Excellent. Well, that's a great answer. Thank you, Amanda. And Victoria, I think that we're just about out of time, so I'll turn the mic back over to you so you can close out the show.
Well, thank you, Anita. And I want to thank both Chris and Amanda for joining us tonight. Thank you so much. And I want to thank our listeners for joining us here at In Faith Network. And don't forget to find us at www.infaithnetwork.com. Stop by and leave a comment about tonight's show. I'm Victoria Fracy, your host, and happy reading.
In Faith Network Radio, blessings through entertainment, www.infaithnetwork.com. Come join our ever-growing Christian community.